How central is the cross of Christ to Christianity? And how does it relate to your life? This is Carl Cusart from Walla Walla University School of Theology. Welcome to Good Word, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we finish our series of Bible lessons based on Paul's letter to the Galatians. And to help explore this important topic, I've invited one of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Dr. Paul Dibdahl, who also is a professor here in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Well, Paul, we've come down to the Apostle Paul's last paragraph or so here in Galatians. And it really is one that is very interesting for a number of reasons. And I'd like just to read the first couple of verses to get our context for it. He says in verse 11, "See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ." So here we have this kind of strange juxtaposition where he talks about, "See with what large letters I'm writing to you." Now, this has mystified people for some time because they thought, well, is it because he's blind, you know, and maybe he needs large letters? What scholars tend to think was happening here is that we know that when Paul wrote his letters, he actually would not write them per se, but
wouldn't he have used a scribe probably?
He would use a scribe. Yeah. We know this because in Romans 16, he mentions, or Tertius, the scribe, says, "Hey, I'm the one who wrote the letter." And so what Paul would do is Paul would take the letter at the end and then usually, you know, sign off with grace and peace. That was his kind of his mark of his authenticity. But here at the end, Paul does not only simply sign grace and peace, but he actually has this whole long paragraph. He just can't let the situation go because he's so concerned about these believers. So, and once again, he identifies this issue of circumcision. But in this case, he says that there are some who want to make a good showing in the flesh. Now, this seems to me like a pun, perhaps in many ways, because they want to make a good showing in the flesh, not meaning just in life in general, but in the fact that they really want the foreskins of these Gentile believers. What should we make of this idea of glorying in the flesh? Paul later talks about the fact that he doesn't want to glory in circumcision. He wants to glory in the cross. Obviously, a contrast going on here to them and their interest in boasting about circumcision. What are we to make of this boasting and glorying in circumcision? What's going on?
Well, it's, again, carrying on the theme throughout the whole book, I think, of Galatians. The issue that Paul is dealing with is, what is it that really is the sign of of the Christian life? Is it an outward something? Is it what I do? Is it what I do literally with my body through circumcision? Is it what I do through actions, doing this or obeying that law? Or is it rather something, is the Christian life something which is defined by my connection with Jesus? And the point I think that he's been making all along is that those external things are not the sign of my my inclusion in the family of God.
Things that we boast about, our
abilities. Things that we would boast about, how good I am at this, whether or not I've been circumcised, all of those things are not the central issues.
Now, it's tricky because those things become very easy for us to, I mean, I think as people, we like to look at something that can kind of gives me security to say, okay, you know, I've read my Bible through this year, I went witnessing, I didn't skip church. I mean, a kind of a security blanket.
That's a human. That's a human tendency.
And those things are not bad in themselves. But
not bad in and of themselves.
But they can become an obstacle, perhaps, for our faith if we somehow put our confidence in those things.
And to require those things of new believers is a burden that we place on them that we ourselves can't carry fully. Yeah. So
I think too here the fact that they're boasting in the circumcision is. Perhaps we see this today in some churches where people like to boast in their numbers, like, oh, well, we had this many baptisms or we did this. And in the end, it almost comes down to like a competition. Instead of souls, lives saved for Christ, it becomes more about, you know, our numbers. And I think we can find ourselves falling right into the position of
Oh, that would be, I think, a contemporary kind of application, yeah, of the same principle here.
Paul talks about kind of, you know, glorying in the cross, and I think his terminology to me must indicate that some people thought he was being too fanatical about the cross. Sure, it had its place, they'd say, but the cross isn't everything. I mean, how central is the cross of Christ to Christianity? Can we glory too much in the cross? What kind of different perspectives would you have on that?
Yeah. Well, just looking at it historically, it's interesting to me how I think for many Western Christians, we think of the cross as the symbol of Christianity. And early on,
it's imprinted on my Bible. I see it in pews, on churches.
Yeah. We wear it. Mm-hmm. People wear it as jewelry. But early on, that was not the case at all. I mean, the cross to the ancient, crucifixion and the cross was mainly about capital punishment. Yes. It was bloody. It was gory. It was awful. Mm. And so it's only later, once that memory has kind of faded, that people begin to use the cross or talk about the cross as a physical object in the way that we do today. So the cross is a kind of stumbling block then in that sense. Mm-hmm. I think when Paul talks about the cross, he's not just though referring to that act of crucifying Jesus, but rather what that indicates, glorying in what that means somehow. And I guess that's where I would see, that's where I would say that the cross is somehow central to Christianity, what that communicates to us about the character of God, the forgiveness that comes as a result of the sacrifice of Christ. And in that light, I would say absolutely the cross is a central part of Christianity.
Makes me think, too, of the passage early in Galatians chapter 2:20, where Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So once again, the cross for him is not simply an object. Like, remember when I was in high school, I bought a crucifix. I thought it looked cool. This was before I was a Christian, but I thought it looked good on me, you know? Yeah. I mean, well, the cross is a whole lot more than simply a little icon that we can buy or earrings or whatever we want to have on our Bible. For Paul, the cross was not just this symbol. It was powerful to him because for him, he identified with Christ. And so that meant that he died with Christ. That put it into his old way of life, and he was raised with a newness of life. So for Paul, the cross was a whole lot more than just an object.
Yeah.
It was part of his story because it was part of Christ's story.
And not merely, well, you've just said it, I guess, but not merely even teaching a theological truth that was significant to him. Mm. It was for, I think in the passage you read, he says, for me.
Yes.
It's a very personal kind
very
of thing
personal.
For him.
Very personal, yeah. So I think in that sense, Paul would boast in the cross by basically not boasting in his own abilities, his own gifts, but giving all the glory for all he has to God.
What Jesus has done for him, what God has done for him.
You know, I think to keep the Galatians from concluding that being uncircumcised was somehow more pleasing to God, because you might come to the conclusion that, you know, the real spiritual ones are those who aren't circumcised. Paul avoids that here at the end by pointing out in verse 15, he says, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. So here in the end, Paul says that really what matters is that a person, I guess we could say, must be born again. And so my question is, how can a person know then that they're a new creation? How can a person know they've been born again? And how does that new birth occur?
Mm. You asked kind of two questions, didn't you?
Yes.
I think it occurs as a person responds to God's initiative in their life.
Mm-hmm. Not something that we manufacture.
It's not something that we grit our teeth and manufacture. We're born of the Spirit, and the indications, I think, that we've been born of the Spirit, Paul would have given to us just previously here in his book, where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes. And as we experience those things growing in our life, I don't think we have to depend on some
external,
you know, fire, some fire from heaven, or that we're suddenly able to walk on water or speak in tongues or whatever it is. But as those things even quietly begin to make themselves manifest in our lives, those are indications that indeed the Spirit is moving and working.
In the end, that's what counts the most.
That's what counts.
We can't generate that. That's something that God does in our lives. I had a friend tell me he called it white magic, because it's not, I mean, it's a transformation that takes place. And we've talked about it. It's kind of interesting because our very first lesson talked about conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And here we end with really conversion again. A different word for it, but a new birth experience, a turning to God, a continual openness to Him, and letting Him transform our lives in ways that we would never imagine we could do on our own.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we've come full circle again. Well, that's a nice way to wrap up this quarter's lesson. You know, the Apostle Paul's last words to the Galatians is the same word that begins and ends all his letters, grace. Grace, it has been said, is the bookends of the gospel, grace first and grace last. That was Paul's prayer for his churches. It was that grace that Paul saw poured out on Calvary that had captivated his heart and changed his life. So as we conclude this quarter's lesson on Galatians, my prayer is that each of us may hear in Paul's final prayer at the end of Galatians God's desire for us also to experience that same grace. I want to say a special thank you to Dave Thomas and to Paul Dibdahl for their contributions over this last quarter that's made this series so great on Galatians. It's been very inspirational. And this, of course, is the last time we'll mention the special offer we've made available this quarter, the book I've written especially for this study called Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church. Each chapter is full of spiritual insights and stories that really help us to explain in more detail Paul's message to the Galatians in a far greater way than we could ever do on our radio broadcast, and also to point out its relevance for our lives today. This week's final chapter is entitled Glorying in the Cross of Christ. We'll be glad to send you a copy this week. We're asking for a donation of $20 or more when you request this insightful book. I'm sure you'll find it well worth it, and your gift will help support the radio ministry of Good Word. To request your copy of Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church, call us this week at 509-527-2194. That number again is 509-527-2194. Or go online to wallawalla.edu/goodword, or send us an email at goodword@wallawalla.edu. We do ask for a donation of $20 when you request Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church. Remember, our past and present programs also are available to download or listen to online, and you can learn more about that at our webpage, wallawalla.edu/goodword. I want to thank you again for listening to today's program. It's been our privilege and pleasure to bring these lessons to you each week this last quarter as we explore the book of Galatians, and we've seen the difference that it can make in our lives as it helps us experience the power of God today. Until next time, for Good Word, I'm Carl Cusart.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.